and how he wants us to be rooted and grounded in how much he really loves us and how he really perceives us. And that's not just for a good feeling, but it is to make us strong. It's to make us strong so that we can pour out of the overflow of our lives. Yes, but I don't want you to see it as a should. I really don't. I don't think the Holy Spirit wants you to see it as something you should do.
That's right.
It's not like that. It's not something you should do. He's not like that. Something you should do. He's not like that. He's good and grand.
Yeah,
and he
good.
Invites you into his glorious heart.
That's right.
For us to get absorbed out and then just walk out and just give away of his glorious heart.
That's good.
Amen. Okay. Now you can greet someone and tell them how good they look. Tell them how good they look. So glad they're here. Amen, amen. Amen. We want to greet every visitor. Alrighty. Yesterday was a really good day. Some of us went off downtown to give away more food. Seems to be a food year. You know, we had community food, we had Thanksgiving food, and now we're giving away more food and delivered food. It was a food year. But thank you so much. They were really blessed. We were able to give, I got to get the number right, $3,500 as a church to that ministry. Isn't that good? That's good. So we physically showed up and we monetarily showed up. That was really rich. That was good. And we are going to be having, I don't know, when is this going to be out? Right now? Am I doing this? No, sorry. It's a secret. Amen. Well, blessings on you. At this point, I believe that the children are going to be dismissed and Danny is going to take the offering.
Well, I'm not going to take the offering. That's a good idea, though, now that we talk about it. And you know, the Bible really doesn't say give your offering either, does it? It says bring your offering. Because it's not ours to give. Everything is his. Everything belongs to him. Amen? And we just come and I really do want to encourage us as we wrap the year up in our many areas, but in one area of giving, that really pray and ask the Lord, is there something that he wants to do? Every year at the end of the year, what we do as a leadership team is we stop and consider the different ministries that we support, and we ask the Lord to help direct us on who we could bless in a special way at the end of the year. And what we've done is we've kind of turned it toward, a lot of times lately, just finding the different pastors that are out there just working, and especially in a third world country where they just don't have much at all, and we try to send a blessing to them. And then some of the other ministries that we support, like Hope's Heart and Roca Blanca and so forth. So as you're praying about giving, please keep that in mind, just like we were able to reach out and bless the Full Faith City Church. And Pastor David was very grateful for that, and especially for the help, the two shifts of help that we had there. So I'd like to have the ushers go ahead and come forward. We're just going to receive this morning's tithes and offerings. If you're a guest with us this morning, please don't feel obligated about this part of the service. But there is a card in the back of the seat in front of you that if you would fill that out, we'd love to just connect with you. We won't bug you, but we will connect with you and see who you are, and then hopefully meet you out at the cafe after the service and just get to know you a little bit. So let's pray and let's ask the Holy Spirit to direct our giving today. Father, we thank you this morning for this part of our worship, because it is truly worship to you, God. And we come this morning to just to bring back to you, Father, the blessings that you have blessed us with. And God, I pray for all of those that are in this room today and in this community of believers, Father, that if there is a need for a job or a better job or an increase, Father, that you would just open up those windows of heaven, because that is your heart as a father. If we as even natural sinful fathers, as your word says, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more does our Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? And we thank you for that today. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. To look at the word this morning. How many of you would consider yourself kind of movie buffs? Raise your hand if you feel like you know a fair amount of movies. Come on now, you guys. This is church. You don't have to fib. He knows. Okay, good. How many feel that you know a little bit about Christmas movies? And you would know which might be the top three. Why don't you tell your neighbor at least two of them? Would you just tell your neighbor what you think the top two is? I'm going to show them to you in just a minute, but before I do, why don't you just see, let's just give you a little test here this morning, see how well you know your movies. All right. Let's go for number one, the biggest one. The most watched movie over the years is A Christmas Story. How many got that one? How many have watched a Christmas movie yet this year? We watch one traditionally every year. We decorate the tree and we have hot chocolate and we watch a movie, a Christmas movie, an old one. The second place would be It's a Wonderful Life. How many at least picked that one? That thing you just watch. How many have watched it more than five times? How many? Yeah, how about more than 10 times? I mean, this thing has been around. And then the third one is Christmas Vacation. You guys get it? I mean, honestly, I don't know what happened to Elf. That should have been in there. If you ask me, Elf should have been in there. How many would agree with that? How about the other one, Home Alone? And you know, they weren't even in the top 10. But they were not. And so Home Alone is a crazy movie about that 8-year-old boy that gets forgotten when the family goes on vacation and ends up being a wild story, a good wild story. But, you know, thinking of that story, you know there's a Bible story that relates to that also. Remember even Mary, the mother of Jesus, when he was 12 years old, they were off at another town. And they left without him. It said they got a couple days away before they actually realized he was missing. That's pretty bad if you ask me. When you can forget God for that long, that's like, wow. And it says they ran back after him. You can read that story on your own. We've been on a series called Magnify. We've looked at a few different verses. In the process, one of the foundational ones is Psalms chapter 34. And I want to read that to us. I really want this to really sink into our spirit. I believe if we can capture this, this could alter our daily walk with God. It could literally change the way things go for us. And we're going to see that hopefully this morning. But Psalms 34, starting with verse 1, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now let me say this. At times he says, Paul says, hey, I want you to pray without what? Don't stop. In other words, pray all the time. But I mean, obviously, you know, if you're in the middle of work, you can't always do that. But I think even with this here, what it's saying, I will praise him continually, and maybe we could just apply it this way, is that maybe throughout your day, every time you have a negative thought come to your mind, instead of letting that come forth or linger around in your thoughts, because it will ultimately bear fruit in your life, instead of letting that stay, maybe that's the time to continually begin to say, no, God, I praise you. No, God, I don't believe that. I'm not going to fall for that again. Because see, if I continue to listen to those thoughts and I don't deal with them, as the Apostle Paul says, then those thoughts will be, they're like a seed. They will grow inside of me, and at some point, it snares me. Remember, David said, man, my soul escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. And so we sometimes let our thoughts just continue to go, especially if they sound like they're true, or maybe they could be right, or something. And maybe this is what David, because David had his challenges in life, and at every front he had challenges of life, in life, that even more than we probably ever will through his upbringing. But he says this, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And then verse 4 says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me. And what did he do? He delivered me from all of my fears. He took care of the enemy simply when I yielded to praising him and honoring him and worshiping him. See, the battle is the Lord's. It's not yours. The victory is yours. And that's an awesome thing. When you grab a hold of that, the enemy doesn't detour you off to get into that battle. I'm thinking of Nehemiah when they went back to rebuild the walls and rebuild the gates of the city. And it says that Sanballat and Tobiah, who represented Satan himself, came to them and said, hey, come on down here. We want to talk to you about this wall that you're trying to finish. It's not going to work. And if you read the story in Nehemiah chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, you'll see that he answers them and says, hey, we are not coming off this wall. We're going to continue to build. We aren't going to listen to you. And they continue to finish the wall in a miraculous time. So God is our helper. He's our strength. And so he wants us to know that so that we can walk in what he calls a victorious walk with him. I want to talk to us a little bit this morning about Mary, whose story teaches us many, many lessons on how we deal with life issues on a daily basis. Mary's story is actually an amazing one, as we will look at it here this morning. But sometimes it has to do with how I look at things. How do I look at things? How do I view things? And there's possibly just two ways that you will be viewing things this year. And before we step into those, I want to pray. I want to ask you just to maybe in agreement with me and in your own prayer this morning, by agreement, that you ask the Lord to come. And I believe if he can reveal to you this truth this morning, it literally could transform your life. It could change the way life works for you. And it's just simply because of how we would view things. So let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning that your Holy Spirit is here to teach us, to lead us, to guide us, to show us things as your word says. You never wanted us to have to walk in blindness. You always wanted to open up the eyes of our understanding. And I pray this morning that would happen for each one of us, God, myself included, that the eyes of my understanding would be, as the scriptures say, opened or enlightened, that I might know truth. God, I believe you want to be the deliverer for every one of us. There are some challenges here this morning that are so overwhelming. They've been such battles in people's lives that, God, you desire to step in. And even as we said, you give your angels charge over us. Even as your word says, God, you want to give us the victory. I pray this morning that you would stir hope in each one of us and give us your insight and wisdom in these next few minutes. In Jesus' name. And everybody said? Amen. So we'll see things through two different views. One of them would simply be that we will look at life. We will look at things. We will look at people. And the second thing is that we will look at things or we will look up to things. We will look up to God. We will allow our focus when we're in the midst of everyday life, instead of always looking at the issue, at the challenge that we're facing. And I think sometimes I might illustrate it with this. Christmas, how many have done at least five Christmases in your life? Every hand should have come up just now. I'm telling you, you were drifting. We've all done Christmas after Christmas. And guess what? Because we do Christmas so many times, and we do it every year, I'm thinking I've done quite a few now as a Christian, that sometimes we can just kind of forget about what the main reason of Christmas is. And we can get busy doing Christmas, even in the church context, but we can literally just look completely at what's going on around us and maybe not look up during the time that, if of all the times of the year, I think this is the time we should look up and say, God, thank you. Thank you for this amazing thing that you've done for us and how you did it. And that we would stir our hearts up to look up. And because most of us, when we do daily life, instead of looking up, we just look at what's going on around us, and we start to calculate it, we start to imagine what's going on with it, and sometimes even for Christmas this year, we could literally go through this entire Christmas time and completely not walk in one day of joy and happiness about it. Come on, we can do that. And why would that be? Because we'd be looking at things. We wouldn't be looking up. And that's what I want us to look at this morning, is how can I begin to look up more than I look at life and its circumstances. When I look at circumstances, and most of us can probably agree with this, I believe, it just seems that it can be very overwhelming. Life has its overwhelming moments, and even though you are born again, you're a believer, you have angels watching over you, how many know you still face life? Life still happens to you every single day. It just does. It just keeps happening. It keeps happening. You can't seem to stop it. Time doesn't stop for you. You can't just stop the world and get off. I remember a song way back that, you know, kind of indicated they like to do that. Just stop the world. Let's get off. No, you can't do that. You got to keep going. You got to keep pressing forward. But when I look at the circumstances, I will become overwhelmed with them. But if I begin to look up to God, the scriptures teach us that he will be our help in time of trouble. There should be a verse up there, I believe. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 is a verse that I use and when I speak to myself. When I start facing circumstances and facing situations, this is a verse that I speak to myself often. Let us therefore come boldly, what? Before the throne of grace, that we may obtain, what? Mercy and find grace to help in time of need. See, God's there, but when I start looking at my circumstances in my daily life, all it does is, remember what we've been talking about, having either a magnifying glass or a telescope. A magnifying glass magnifies my problems. As I look at them and I get closer to them, they just get bigger, don't they? And they get bigger because I get closer to them. It's not that they're actually that big. But with a telescope, I begin to see how big things that are big really are, like the universe. And I begin to see them that way. And so as we look at life and as we face life on just a daily basis and all these things are coming toward us, we begin to allow those, if we keep looking at them, to be magnified. And as they become magnified, we become more fearful of those things. And the enemy loves to play on your fears. He loves to come after your fears. and he loves to take off after you. And so as we look this morning at Mary's story, we're going to kind of see some stuff that she went through and hopefully glean some truths from her story, because you have a story also that others will be gleaning from. You'll have a story also. And so what we want to do is learn from her so that we can glean from it and we can walk the way that I believe she walked. She did an amazing job, and see the Lord work in and through our lives. When you look at the story of Christmas, how many would agree that it's kind of a bizarre story? How many might even agree after reading it that you might have done it differently if you were God? Come on now. Come on, well, you sit and you look at that thing and think, well, God, I think I'd have done this differently. I think I'd have had him come as a king. I think I'd have had him come on a white horse or with a lot of pomp. I would have brought him to a palace, not a manger. Come on, that's the way we would think about it. That's the way we just see life and we do life. But yet somehow God saw it completely different. He saw it completely different. I wouldn't have had a virgin who could have been stoned to death for being pregnant out of wedlock have God. And yet we see this in the story. We see this is what did happen, actually took place. He calls out Mary as a virgin, and it says that, and we'll read this in just a minute, that the Holy Spirit comes upon her, and out of her stomach comes God himself. I think, Lord, I don't think I would have done that. It even gets a little bit funny to explain to somebody that's not saved. Well, you see, you know, this young girl, not even married, you know, it's just a story that's kind of bizarre. And yet, when God had in mind what he was doing, he had in mind of not getting the attention of man's mind, but he was trying to get a hold of our spirit. He wanted to awaken man in his spirit. He wanted us to come to the place of relationship with him, not just as an intellectual assent, which you really have a hard time doing with the whole story of the birth of Jesus, if you ask me. But he thought it made sense, and so he went ahead and did it that way. And as we look at the story this morning, let's pull a few points out. Let's see what we can maybe glean from it. And most of all, what I'd like to do is to have us maybe even begin to, we had about another week here before we actually celebrate the birthday, whether it's the actual day or not, doesn't matter. That's just the day that's been chosen, and that's what we choose to honor him with. And how will we honor him on that day in a week from now? Will it just be another Christmas and we'll be scrambling with gifts and presents, or will we really let him first be the focus and first be the emphasis of our lives? And that's what we want to look at this morning. Oftentimes, either Christmas becomes too familiar to us, again, we do it every year, or it becomes too Hallmarkish for us. If you know what I mean. You know, you get all those cute cards and you look at all those cards and you go through and you're like, wow, this is really Christmas. You know, they've really got it. Well, no, that's kind of Hallmark is Christmas. What we want to do as we celebrate Christmas is step into even a deeper relationship with the one who came to earth to set us free from death and hell. And everybody said amen. Amen. You should be happy about that one. As your best gift, let me just tell you, hell is not a fun place to end up, no matter how you look at it. It's a lose-lose. I can remember my friends, and probably I said it too, you know, well, I think I'd rather go to hell because that's where all my friends will be. I'm like, yeah, I don't know that you know quite what you're saying. At least I can say that now. But we want to look at the story. So let's look at Luke chapter 1 and go through just this story so that it can be refreshed in us, but also maybe glean a few points, you know, in the process about what did Mary go through and how did she come to her end conclusion in her life and in her life story. Luke chapter 1, and I'm going to have it up here. I have it in the New Living Translation. In verse 26, it says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, which was Mary's relative, many would call her the cousin, it could be, but we know the word at least means it was a relative of hers. Mary's in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. So we see that he's pointing out who the angel went to. And she was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David, which that's another thing when you look at the story. Here he is. He's in the lineage of a king, and so now he finds his engaged girlfriend to be pregnant. How's that going to look for somebody in the king's lineage? That's not going to look good either. I mean, when you think about all the little pieces of this story, it's like it's bizarre. I mean, obviously he would have run from this because that wouldn't look good for the king. He was a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, that's an understatement, by the way. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. And as usual, when an angel appeared to somebody, the first thing they said was, "Don't be afraid." You see, Patricia was talking about the angels maybe not being these little fat cherubs with wings and flutes, you know. No, they must have been some pretty massive creatures, for every time somebody saw one, they were like, "Whoa, we are afraid." And so they come with the warning every time, "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God." Now, that's an interesting statement, isn't it? You found favor with God. That means that that is a possible position to be in. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be very great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever, and his kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." What is Mary doing? She's looking at the circumstance. She's looking at the circumstance. Even though there's this angel there, we have something about us that keeps asking questions. And let me just say this. There's nothing wrong with asking God questions. But just be ready for the answer. And be ready to accept the answer. And knowing that his ways might not be your way. And his thoughts might not be your thoughts, but I have found he does give answers. He does come to us. Maybe not the moment I ask, and maybe I don't hear it because it's not the answer I want to hear, but he always comes to us. And he comes to her, and she says, "How can this happen? I'm a virgin." And the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say that she was barren, but she has conceived a son, and now in her sixth month. For the word of God will what? Never fail. Would you say that with me? The word of God will never fail. Let's say that again. The word of God will never fail. See, we have to be set on that. Otherwise, the season between the promise and the fulfillment of the promise can be scary. But if I'm settled in the fact that the word of God will never fail, then guess what? I'm going to look up when I see those challenges come my way. I'm not going to look at, I'm going to look up. I'm going to look at. Why? Because God made these promises. So if I can focus on him and not at the problem, at the circumstances, I will see the answer. I'll receive the hope. And we'll see this at the last couple of scriptures that I have are just powerful, I think, for trying to help us to understand this. But if we grab a hold of her responses, then the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And so the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say that she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month." Why? For the word of God will never fail. Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything that you have said come true." And then the angel left her. Now see, there's nothing wrong with asking and communicating and talking back and forth with God about the circumstance. I've actually come to find out on my journey is that if I will talk to God out loud, okay, I'm not talking about just in my mind. If I will just have conversation with him out loud, let the words come out of my mouth, I hear him better when he begins to respond to me. I don't know what that is about, what there is about that, other than the fact that, they say you have, 60,000 thoughts a day or something like that, some ridiculous amount of thoughts every day. Aren't you glad you get to filter them out with what your mouth says? That's why it says, hey, life and death are in the power of the tongue. It's of your mouth. What are you going to say? What will you say when it's all said and done? Well, she trusted in the Lord. She believed in the Lord, and that's what she let come out of her mouth. But before she got there, she had a little conversation. What's going on? Why is this happening? I can't hardly believe it. How will it happen? And she did get a response. It wasn't one that she could fully understand, right? I mean, really, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and this is going to happen. Well, that's okay. That's clear to me. That works for me. No, it doesn't work. But yet it was God's answer to her. And when she received it, the miracle came forth. And that's what God wants us as we journey along to do that. Look at verse 39. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. I just think that's so another bizarre part of the story, right? But yet true and powerful. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? And when I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. Now, let me throw this in for free. This is a side note. When you read through the Psalms, and it talks about praising God and worshiping God and responding to God, do you know one of the words in there is to jump? It just says, you jumped for joy. When you're praising God, you jump for excitement. You jump out of excitement. So I just wanted to throw that in if you felt like jumping at some point during worship. It's all good. God's not going to be mad at you. He might even get excited with you. He loves you to worship Him, and He loves for your physical body to respond to what's happening in your spiritual being. But sometimes we can literally weigh it down, can't we? I mean, we just weigh it down, and I believe He wants to free people, and part of that freedom comes Kathy said, in natural life, when she's helping people, she helps people at the end of their life. In case you didn't know what she does, I can't think of the word they call that, but hospice help. She helps them, but to help them breathe, she lifts her hands. I thought, wow, that's just God. That's amazing things that happen like that in the natural, but relate to the spiritual also. And so as we move forward, and I just want to say, as I've been studying this whole Magnify God series, repeatedly, one of the things that comes into play is that they do it with thanksgiving. They always thank God. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. And it releases something inside of us that I think through the course of the journey and the course of life, because, it's hard not to look at life and at circumstances. And through the course of that, we begin to get weighed down and we're not looking up like we could and like we should, so that God can come by His Spirit and release something inside of us. And so it says that they jump for joy. You're blessed because you believed. You believed that the Lord would do what He said. You believed what the Lord said that He would do. It's just, you believed. I just believe. Okay, God, I'm going to believe you. I don't see it. I don't feel it. It is bizarre. It doesn't make sense how you could do that, but I believe you. I just believe you. And I think it's neat that we have this illustration and this example here. I mean, this is really, if you want to have an extreme example of believing, isn't that it? You've never had sex with a woman, but you're going to have a baby. Like, wow, how in the world? But she says out of her mouth, God, I believe you. I just believe you. And I wonder sometimes if we need to, when we're faced with the challenge of not seeing a promise that we've been given or a promise that we've read about in the scriptures not be there, that, wow, all of a sudden we just started saying, I believe. I believe. And that's what she did. And then look at her response out of that, which we've talked about the last few weeks. And Mary responded in verse 46. Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, and how my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Wow. All of a sudden, the soul begins to respond to the spirit, and they both together, and the body too, begin to leap for joy. And the whole person, your whole being, probably the way you were created in the garden, begins to respond and react to your creator and your maker in a fresh way. It's not old. It's not familiar. It's not Hallmarkish. It's a real living understanding, recognition of who God the Father is and what he did for you. I am Emmanuel, God with you. Then we take it to our day. And our day says, we're going to go a step further. I'm going to be in you. Right? He sanctified your temple, who you are. He sanctified it with the blood of Jesus Christ. So what? He can move back in you, and you can have that fellowship that you had in the garden, or that Adam had in the garden before they sinned, however long that was. I just think, wow, God, help me this Christmas to realize the bizarre thing that you did for me so that I could have not only life eternal, but I could have an intimate, close relationship with my Heavenly Father. I wonder sometimes if we don't maybe need to have a clearer picture of hell so that we can see how great heaven is. You know, we've gotten to the place now where people don't even mention hell anymore because why would you do that? Only because the Bible does. It's the only time I'd ever mention it. Because the Bible talks about it. It's not a place that anybody should go. And he didn't make it for anybody. He said, I didn't make that for you. That's made for old Slewfoot himself. But yet, if we don't respond to him, we end up there. But all we have to do is believe. We don't have to work. Come on, amen? Sometimes you got to remember, wow. And maybe if you... No, I won't say that. All right, let me wrap it up this morning with this thought. This Christmas, you're going to look at lots of things. Some people are going to look at Christmas and say, wow, this was a great year. I had a great year. It's been a great year financially and all the way around. It's been a great year for me. But, you know, many more don't do that. Many more walk into Christmas, I believe, for a number of reasons. It's maybe one of the main holidays of the year, that they walk into that and they're not really happy. They wish that their finances were different. They wish that their relationships were different. They wish that they maybe were married. They wish maybe that maybe there's a loss of a loved one. Maybe there's something there that doesn't make this such a pleasant holiday. And if we're not careful, we'll look at those circumstances when God would say, hey, I want you to look up. I want you to look up. If you look up, and this is what Mary did. She began to look up. She looked up and she believed. And she knew the scriptures. She wasn't unfamiliar with the scriptures. That's why she was chosen to be the one to carry our Lord. She knew the scriptures. She knew the prophetic words about the Savior coming. And I would imagine, even though it still didn't make sense, all of a sudden it began to make sense, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. He reveals his truth to us. And he wants you to know that. He doesn't want you to be in the dark. Guess what? God hates darkness. And he wouldn't want you to be in the darkness. Because if you're in the darkness, you just stumble around. But he wants you to be in what? What kind of light does he want you to be in? What does the scripture say? Marvelous light. He has a marvelous light for you. And he wants you to walk in that. And when you're going through situations, he doesn't want you to look at the circumstances. He wants you to look up. Listen to these last two verses in Psalms chapter 5 and verse 3. And I want to just finish up with these two verses and ask us to maybe just, you know, sometimes you got to just reboot, or you got to, you know, you got to just restart and make sure that you're walking in the right place. Psalms 5 and verse 3, listen to this. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. My voice. I'm going to speak to you in the morning, Lord. I'm going to get up and I'm going to start talking to you first. I'm going to let you be first in my life. Remember we talked about Matthew 6:33 last week. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. And so the psalmist David is coming to the Lord, and he's saying, God, you're going to hear my voice in the morning. And then look at what he goes on to say. And in the morning, I will direct it to you, and I will do what? I will look up. God, I'm going to look up. I'm going to get up tomorrow morning. You're going to hear my voice because I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to let words come out. I'm going to say these things to you. And I'm going to look up to you for all of the answers. Come on, isn't that an awesome promise? I will look up. Ah, you're going to hear my voice. And I'm going to look up to you, Lord. That's what I'm going to do every day. I'm going to get up and I'm going to do this early. I'm going to do this to start out. And I know some of you are morning people and some of you are night people and all of that. And that's wonderful. But, you know, that's no excuse. That's no excuse. When will you look up to him? He doesn't know time. So he doesn't have like morning and day, just FYI. Right? He doesn't know time. He started the calendar for you and I on the earth. Day one, dot, dot, dot. 24 hours, dot, dot, dot. But he's in no time in heaven, so it doesn't matter to him. But the question really is, are you calling out to him? Are you lifting your voice to him? Is he hearing you? Does he know your voice? Or not? Luke chapter 21 and verse 28. Listen to this. Now, when these things begin to happen, about challenging days that we would live in, when these things begin to happen, what are we asked to do? Look up. Look up. Look up. And lift up your heads. Why? Because your redemption is drawing near. Redemption has to do with buying back. Some translations say your salvation draws near, which is everything about your life. Everything about your life is your salvation. And I believe the Lord would want us, maybe even starting today, and, you know, again, I know you're all probably Christians here, and that's great. You know, I'll probably all say, yeah, I'm in church, so I am thinking about God. But I have just a deeper challenge for you. For this next 7 days, that you would do what the psalmist David, the king, greatest king that ever lived, did, is you get up every day, and you just begin to talk to him. And to just express your love to him. It'll feel awkward if you haven't done it a lot. I just tell you, it will. It'll feel totally awkward. That's okay. Just begin to talk to him. Let the words come out of your mouth. Let him know that you're going to look up today at every turn. Every time a thought comes, every time a challenge comes, you're going to look up to him instead of looking at the circumstances. You're going to allow him. I tell you, it's so exciting when he begins to speak